open your Bibles to Revelation. Romans, I don't care, they're both good, either one. Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. I'm continuing our teaching on the church, and tonight I'm going to speak on the subject, the church and the state. The church and the state. People often ask me, Brother Hiles, why is it that the government, we don't take government support for our schools? I'll explain tonight. Somebody asked me often, they said, Brother Hiles, why isn't your school accredited? In the first place, we've got some sense. But in the second place, I'm going to teach you tonight why we are not accredited and why, as long as I live and am sane, it will not be accredited. But I'm not teaching mainly on that tonight. I'm teaching on the church and the state, but I said those things just so I could, maybe you'd stay awake till I get to those things. In the first verse of Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. That's not talking about hell now. That's talking about you'll be judged for it. In other words, it'll be a sin, and it'll cause you to be judged. I don't mean you may be punished for it. That's what I'm trying to say. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God. A revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. By the way, that word sword means capital punishment. It's exactly what it means. And verse number 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute, or taxes also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, our Father, I pray you'd help us tonight as we investigate what the Bible says about the church and the state. I feel so many of these lessons are so vital, and I pray you'd help our people to understand tonight some of the things we do and don't do as we teach the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Holy Father, this is thy book. And I have an idea that what we're going to say tonight is one of the least known things in Christian fundamental circles. Help me as I teach, please, and give me the attention of those who hear. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know that the United States government believes in separation of church and state for the Catholics but not the Baptists? Let me give you an example. You let Mr. Noriega come to First Baptist Church of Hammond and seek asylum here. Memory Lane would have another customer. But let's suppose that he could last a while here. Now, you let him come to First Baptist Church of Hammond or any other Baptist church, or the Baptist headquarters, and seek asylum. And the government would break down this building to get to him. But he goes to the Catholic embassy in Panama, and our government will not break down the building to get to him. Why? Because our government respects separation of church and state with the Catholics, but not with other people. Follow me carefully as I give you logic tonight. I'm going to make 11 statements. Statement number one, there are two kingdoms. There are two kingdoms. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 4, verse number 8. We're going to look at several passages tonight, so be sure and go with me and follow me as we discuss this. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. I want you to read that out loud with me, please. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, page 998. Ready? Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. I want you to notice the word kingdoms of the world. All right, look at me. There is a kingdom of the world. Is that right? All right. Now turn, if you would please, to John chapter 18 and verse 36. John chapter 18 and verse 36. Page 1141. John 18:36, and read that verse aloud, please, with me. Ready? Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." I want you to notice he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Look at me. We read a while ago in Matthew 4:8 that there is a kingdom of this world, right? All right. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," right? All right. So that means there are two kingdoms on this earth. There is the kingdom of this world, and there is the kingdom of our God. You follow me, care? Don't leave me now. The kingdom of this world and the kingdom of our God. Now, God set it up this way. There are two kingdoms with two different kings, the kings of the world and Jesus, our king, and the kingdom of this world and the kingdom that is here, which is not of this world or not of this world arrangement, please. Second thing I want to say is this. First thing I said, there are two kingdoms. And the second thing I want to say, we live in both and are to be subject to both. I said, we live in both of them. We live in this kingdom of this world, and we are part of the kingdom of God. And so we are to be subject to both. Turn to Matthew 22:21. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 21. This is one of the few statements that is given in all three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It is not mentioned in John. But not many statements or stories are told in three of the four Gospels. But in Matthew 22 and verse number 21. Read it out loud, please. Ready? "They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's." Now, he's likening the word Caesar to the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was the kingdom of this world under which they lived. And he said, now, you give to God's kingdom what's his, and you give to Caesar's kingdom what's his. Don't leave me now. I said in the first place, there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. All right, how many kingdoms are there? Two. One is the kingdom of this, and the other is the kingdom of... All right, there are two kingdoms, and we live in both and are subject to both. Number three, each is to allow the other to exist and operate. Each is to allow the other to exist and operate. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world are just as separate as the government of Canada and the government of the United States. And these two kingdoms have no more right to try to control each other than we have to control Canada or Canada has to control us. Now, if you'll get this, you'll understand the separation of church and state. It's more than just the church not influencing the state. It's more than that. It's more than the state not running the church. It's a fact there are two separate kingdoms, and neither is answerable to the other, and neither is supposed to operate the other or run the other. I said, number one, there are two kingdoms. One is what? The kingdom of this world, and the other is the kingdom of God. And we live in both, that's number two, and are to be subject to both. Number three, each is to allow the other to operate and exist. In other words, we're not supposed to keep the kingdom of God is not supposed to keep the government from operating, and we're not supposed to do anything to hinder its operation, and the government is not supposed to do anything to churches or the God's kingdom or God's work on earth that would hinder its operation or change its operation. It is none of the church's business what the government does, and it's none of the government's business what the church does. There are two kingdoms operating with two different kings, two different philosophies, two different constitutions, two different theories. We've walked two different cadences. And so now then, follow me carefully. Then we'll go down to something a bit controversial. I said, number one, there are two kingdoms. I said, number two, we live in both and are subject to both. I said, number three, each is to allow the other to exist and to operate. Number four, there are naturally two great threats. And it's just simple as day and night. One threat is the state controlling the church. And another threat, look at me now, and the other threat is the church controlling the state. All right? Now, these are the two threats, that the church would control the state. And by the way, there are countries in this world right now where the church controls the state. And the other threat is the state controlling the church. And there are countries in this world right now where the state controls the church. Have you noticed it's very, very interesting that in China, now they're loosening up a little bit. Have you found them opening any Baptist churches yet? It's very interesting. It's always some Catholic church or Orthodox church that they're giving their freedom to. And so it's not, Russia doesn't have freedom of religion. They're light years away from freedom of religion. All right? Now, I said number one, and number five is going to take a while. I said number one, there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of this, talk to me, the kingdom of this, and the kingdom of, and we live in both kingdoms and are subject to both, and each is to allow the other to exist and operate, and there are naturally two great threats. One is for the state to control the what? Church, and the other is the church to control the what? State. Number five. There are two great ideologies that embody these threats. Now follow this carefully. One is communism. Communism is complete control of the church by the state. The other is Catholicism. Catholicism is complete control of the state by the church. Now, consequently, those two ideologies are as deadly and as dangerous as the other. Communism is as deadly and dangerous as Catholicism, and Catholicism is as deadly and dangerous as communism, because they both are trying to bring these kingdoms together. But the Bible says these are two separate kingdoms, and they're not supposed to come together. Render to Caesar what's his, that's the kingdom of this world, and render to God what's his, that's the kingdom of God, or if you please, would please, the churches and their work. So I'm saying there are two great ideologies. Communism, listen, to whatever degree a country is communistic, that same degree, that country, the state, controls the church. The state is trying to control the church in America today. Why? Because America is almost communistic today. Somebody said, do you think, Brother Howes, that now that the Berlin Wall is down, the communism is over? No, hadn't done a thing for communism. Not one single thing. Not at all. The philosophy of communism is as prevalent in America today as it was in Russia 35, 40 years ago. And we are more to what we have today, we would have called a country communistic 35, 40 years ago if they were as we are now. We used to talk about Russia's communistic and Canada is socialistic and America is democratic. America is far more socialistic and near communism today than Canada was when we used to call her socialistic. Now then, to whatever degree a nation is Catholic, the church controls, to that same degree, the church controls the state. Now, if a nation is all Catholic, then the church controls the state. If a nation is all communistic, then the state controls the church. Now, it's like a balance here, like a scale. If communism is in control, communism controls the church, and if Catholicism is in control, the church controls the state. You show me any country in this world where the Catholics are a great majority, and I'll show you a country where the church keeps her thumb on the state. You go, I'll tell you who runs Italy. It's not the Prime Minister of Italy. The El Papa runs Italy. And any country, the influence of the church, it all depends on how much. Now, follow me carefully. That's why when the Reformation came, and John Calvin and John and Martin Luther and others led the Reformation, that's why the Protestants even then kept on controlling the state. I mean, Martin Luther pretty well controlled the governments of much of Germany, and John Calvin Geneva. And they still control. Now why? Because they came out of the Catholic Church according to doctrine, but they did not come out of the Catholic Church according to control the state. And they believed the church should control the state. And so when they took over, actually, the Reformation was not an evangelistic endeavor. It was these men who were reformers came and they took over parts of countries. And the churches in parts of these countries, and they controlled the politics and ran the cities. Why? Because they got it from their mother, the Catholics, and that's where it came from. So, I said there are two great ideologies. Catholicism is as dangerous to this world as communism. Because communism is as dangerous as Catholicism. Now, I know what people say over the house. I wish you wouldn't call the names. Listen, you may as well tell the dog not to bark or a skunk not to stink, because I'm gonna call a spade, and Catholicism is right out of hell, and the Pope is not the vicar of God, the Pope is the vicar of hell, and you can like that or not like it, you're gonna get it while I'm here behind this platform. Just 2-2 is 4, sunrise east, sets in the west, and the Bears won't win a game for 10 more years. And some things that are all set and etched in stone. And I'm trying to say that Catholicism is the greatest danger in America. You'd be shocked if you knew how many city governments the Pope, the priest in the town controls. You'd be shocked if you knew how many mayors and city councilmen went to the church to find out what decisions to make. And behind the scene, the church pretty well controls the state. You'd be shocked if you knew, we used to believe this. America used to believe this. That's why we didn't have a Catholic president until the mid-1940s. Or was it 60? 60. And Kennedy. So I'm simply saying, because we knew, back in those days, the whole country believed, we don't want the Pope running the country. That's the reason America didn't elect a Catholic. I'm talking about unsaved America. I'm talking about non-churched America. I'm talking about Methodist America. I'm talking about Presbyterian America. I'm talking about all America would not elect a Catholic, because they knew if we did, El Papa would be behind the government. That's why we didn't do it. Alright? I said number one, there are two kingdoms. I said number two, we live in both and are to be subject to both. I said number three, each is to allow the other to exist and operate. I said there before, there are naturally two great threats. One, the state to control the church, and the other, the church to control the state. I said number five, there are two great ideologies that embody these threats. Communism, state controlling the church. Catholicism, the church controlling the state. And number six, each has its own area of authority. Each has its own area of authority. Now follow me. These two kingdoms, I said kingdoms, are not to be entwined with each other. It is not the job of the state, and in fact, it shouldn't do it, because they're two different kingdoms, and we coexist in this world. The kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God, which is not of this world. All right, number six, each has its own area of authority. Set up straight. Put your thinking cap on and go back to a Bible study, some Bible studies we had, 3 or 4 Bible studies, maybe 8, 9, 10 months ago on the law. Remember that? Anybody remember that? All right. Remember what I said the government's supposed to do for its people? All right, give me one thing that the government, originally, the government was supposed to do for the people. What? Protect what? The person. Protect our person. Right. Supposed to protect me. This hook that you see before you tonight. The government's supposed to protect this. All right? What's the second thing the government was made to do? Protect our property. Exactly so. Anybody remember the third thing? Protect our freedom. Exactly. Now, those are the only three things that the government is supposed to do. Anything else? The government's not supposed to educate our children. The government was not started to educate our children. The government was started for three things: to protect our person, to protect our property, and to protect our freedom. And that's it. Now, that's their area. It is not the church's job to protect our property. That's the government. That's the kingdom of this world. It's not the kingdom of God's job to protect your person. That's the kingdom of this world. It's not the church's job to protect your freedom. That's the kingdom of this world. Those are the only three things they're supposed to do. I'll say this. Government education, public education, is of the devil. It was never intended by God for the government to train our children. God didn't say to the government, train up a child the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. It's not the government's job. It's the job of the home and the job of the church. And in America, when America first started back yonder for decades, the churches trained the children. Public education was not a part of America's founding. The government took over the education later on. It was not a part of our founding. I'm simply saying the government's job is threefold. And for example, back yonder when we had no, just had little groups together, folks would get together and say, look, we got to protect each other. And so they would have, they'd hire somebody maybe, or choose some volunteers to walk guard and protect the safety of the people. And then they'd say, look, folks are, while we're sleeping, folks are vandalizing and stealing. We gotta have somebody to help us. So they chose somebody to protect the property. And then people were trying to usurp authority and take away freedom, and they chose somebody to protect their freedom. And that's all it was supposed to do. Property, person, and freedom. That's it. Now, consequently, if the government and the kingdom of this world would limit itself to what it itself started with, and what the government itself was intended to be, apart from the Bible, apart from church, the government was started for that purpose, and it's not the government's job to do anything else. All right? Now, what does it mean? That means the church's job, the other kingdom, is to do God's work. Now, it is not the government's job to interfere with God's work. It is not the church's job to interfere with the police department. It is not the government's job to interfere with the Christian school. It is not the church's job to interfere with the fire department. There are two kingdoms. Now, the kingdom of this world is not a bad word. It's not a bad term. But it says the word worldly to us means bad, but it doesn't in the Bible. It means secular. It means the world arrangement. So the kingdom of this world is to protect our person, our property, our freedom, and the kingdom of God is to spread the gospel and do the work of God through the local churches. All right? Now then, I said each has its own area of authority. I said, now number seven, we are to honor both. We are to honor both. Let me ask you a question for a minute. Now don't think I'm being cocky, because I'm not, but it's hard when you're as wonderful as I am not to be. But when the mayor of Hammond comes and walks on this platform, I'll guarantee you he's more intimidated than I am. You know why? Because I head a more important kingdom than he does. You see? And now, please don't misunderstand me. I don't think I'm anybody, but I think my office is something. The governor of the state of Indiana came here one time, Governor Orville. Not Orville Boy, Orville Boy. He's a member of our church here. We'd be in bad shape. But anyway, what's his first name? Not Orr. Bowen, Dr. Bowen. Otis Bowen, yeah. He came and visited here back when Mayor Ruskowski was mayor of Hammond. He came to our church. We honored him. We honored him, recognized him. He came on a Sunday morning for a big day. Mayor Ruskowski saw me a few days later, and he said, Governor Bowen came up to the city hall. And Governor Bowen said to him, he said, that man Hiles intimidates me like nobody I've ever been around in my life. Now, why? I'll tell you why. Because Hiles thinks he has a more important job than Bowen has. Hiles thinks that the pastor of a church and God's kingdom is more important than the governor of a state and the kingdom of this world. I don't think I'm a bigger person. I don't think I'm an important person. I think I happen to fill the most important job in the world, and that is the pastor of a church in the kingdom that is not of this world. So, we are to honor both. Look at Proverbs 24:21. Proverbs 24:21. Yeah, I think I told you about... listen to me. No talking, girls. No talking. I think I told you about when I was preaching in Indianapolis at a big convention. In the city auditorium down there in Indianapolis. Look at me, girls. Now, let's pay attention on the second row, girls. Pay attention. And I was preaching down there, and I was on the platform, 7,000 people sitting out there at the big convention. I sat down beside a fellow, and I said, my name is Hiles. He said, my name is Orr. And I said, you speaking here tonight? He said, yes, a little bit. And I said, what kind of business you in? He said, politics. I said, no, what kind of office do you hold? He said, lieutenant governor of this state. I said, oh. But I had the poor guy was, he was shook up. I didn't even know who he was. But by the way, he knew who I was. And he should. Because I'm more important than he is. I mean that. Now, you don't mean that. You'd come to church faithfully. You don't mean that. You don't mean the church is more important than anything else. You'd show up around here more often. You don't mean that at all. But I do. That's why I'm here. Unless Cowboys are playing in the Super Bowl. I'd pull for them to get beat if they were. But anyway, have we read that verse yet? Look at verse number 21 of Proverbs 24. Read it out loud, please. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Now, what does that say? That says, fear the Lord and fear the king, and those that try to mix the two, don't meddle with them. That's what it's saying. The king and the Lord, the king's kingdom and the Lord's kingdom are not to be interwoven or mixed up, if you please. So we are to honor both. Now, I said, number one, there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. I said, number two, we live in both and are subject to both. I said, number three, each is to allow the other to exist and operate. I said, number four, there are naturally two great threats. I said, number five, the two great ideologies that embody these threats are communism, which believes in a state-controlled church. And I'll say it again. Don't you think for one second that Mr. Garbage Mouth is a good man of the year or man of the decade. He wouldn't give a flip for America if they weren't in trouble over there in Russia. He's got to have our financial help. He's got to have our economic help. He's got to have food from us. He's not going to make it without it. And communism is as rotten as the devil, and Catholicism is as rotten as the devil, because they're trying to unite these two kingdoms that are not supposed to be together. They're supposed to be separate kingdoms, each allowing the other to exist, neither interfering with the other, neither governing the other, neither trying to control the other, neither trying to operate the other, not the kingdom of God through his churches trying to control the government, not the government trying to control the kingdom of God. The kingdom of this world, the kingdom not of this world, are totally separate and are not supposed to have anything to do with each other. Now then, number eight. There is a priority to our allegiance. There is a priority to our allegiance. Sometimes Christian people says, well, the Lord says you're supposed to always obey the government. Would you show me the verse, please, and chapter? The Lord never says to always obey the government. Never. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 13, please. Romans chapter 13, and let's see if we're supposed to obey the government always. Verse number one, I want you to follow me very, very carefully. A lot of Baptist people have used this to say that we're always supposed to obey the government. If the government says we have to get accredited, they say we're supposed to do it because we're supposed to obey the government. That's not what it teaches here. Look at it. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Look at me. Powers, plural. Which means there's more than one power in this world, right? The higher powers, all right? For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. All right, let me ask you a question then. What's the highest power? God. God's the one that sets up the powers. And the Bible said that every soul be subject to the higher powers. Now, the higher the power, the more the subjection. But the big power is God. He's the one that ordained the whole thing. He's the one that built the whole thing. He's the architect of the whole thing. And he's the highest power. And when it says that every soul be subject to the higher powers, he's saying that your main allegiance is supposed to be to God. All right, let's go on. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power. It says there is no power but of God. Look at verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. So when it says the power, who's it talking about? God. Whoso therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation or punishment. Now, it's talking about rulers. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. He's saying nothing wrong with having a police department, nothing wrong with having a governor, nothing wrong with having a president, nothing wrong with having a mayor, nothing wrong with having a fire department. But he says, verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. All right, look at me. I am a minister of God. Is that right? Okay, are you supposed to put me above God? Yes or no? Yes or no? No, don't be afraid to say that. I'll be a little upset, but no, God comes before me. I am his minister. Now, there are areas in where you're supposed to obey me as the pastor, according to Hebrews 13:17. But whenever there's a conflict between the pastor and God, if the pastor says don't go soul winning, you go soul winning anyway. See? And so I'm simply saying the same is true with the secular rulers. Mayors, governors, city councilmen. Our big allegiance is to the highest power, and as long as these other powers do not conflict with the highest power, then we're supposed to be obedient to the other powers also. All right, let's go on. For he is the minister of God, or under God, to thee for good. Look at verse number 6. For this cause pay ye tribute also. Tithes, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. I am so glad that when we had that ice storm the other night, we had some people to put some salt on the streets. They were protecting our person, right? And that's their job. I'm glad about that. And I'm supposed to cooperate matters like that. I'm glad that when we had a fire across the alley over here a few years ago, I'm glad there was a fire department that came and kept that fire from destroying this auditorium. I'm glad about that. That's to protect our property, is that right? So I'm simply saying that's the job of the government. Now to verse number 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. But God is saying, obey the higher powers. Your first allegiance is to the highest power. Allegiance. If there is a conflict between the lower powers or the less high powers, the higher the power, the more the allegiance. Let me illustrate. If the city of Hammond passes a law, we can't go soul winning, we're going soul winning. You say, break the law? No, we're going to keep the law of God. He commanded us to go soul winning. So we'll go soul winning. And while they put you in jail, we witness the jailers, what Paul did. So we'll go soul winning. Illustration. Daniel prayed at a certain time in a certain way. They passed a law, exactly what they did. They passed a law that you couldn't do it. But Daniel said, that's what I've always done. And I'm not going to change it. So Daniel broke the law. You hear what I said? He broke the law. And because of it, he got put in the lion's den. Why? Because he was subject to the highest power first and the less higher powers next. Now, if that law had said, don't burn leaves next to your, when the wind's in the north, and you got a fellow next door to you, this house is 10 feet from your house, on the north, on the south side, then that's okay. If the king has said you can't go over 65 miles an hour on a highway, that's okay. That's protecting our person and our property. You follow me? But when the king said, when he got over in the other kingdom, and that's exactly what the king did. The king got out of his kingdom and decided to go over into the other kingdom. And when he did that, then God's man said, uh-oh, you don't control this kingdom. See, you got over in an area that's not yours. You have no authority over this kingdom. You go back home and control your own kingdom. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego broke the law. The law said, you know, some of you young folks ought to listen, quit looking like you bored to tears. I mean, this is your country. Let it go to hell if you want to. We'll all be in heaven. You go down here with a church, a school, a government running your school and running Howells Anderson College and running the high school and grade school. What you ought to do is sit up and listen and say, bless God, I'm going to learn what the Bible says. So when I take over this country and I'm an adult here, we're going to fight for our freedom like Brother Howells and others have fought in this generation. Now then, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a law was passed. They had to bow down and worship this golden image. But this kingdom over here of God said, thou shalt not worship, any other idol or God, nor the gods before me, or not make unto thee any graven images. So here's a law over here in the kingdom of this world that says, bow down, worship this image. Here's a law in the kingdom of God that says, don't bow down and worship this image. And God said, you're supposed to obey God's law and this kingdom's law over this kingdom's laws. And this kingdom has no right to make a law that's against this kingdom. And this kingdom has no right to run this kingdom. This kingdom has no right to say who can pray and who can't pray. This kingdom has no right to say whom you worship, who you don't worship.
This kingdom has no right to say whether you go soul winning or don't go soul winning. This kingdom has no right. This kingdom has a right to make laws that protect our person, protect our property, protect our freedom. And this kingdom over here has a right to tell us how we ought to live and behave ourselves and run the work of God. Turn to Acts 4:18. Acts 4:18. Follow me carefully. I'm going to read aloud, but you follow me carefully. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Look at me. They said, we passed a law. There's a law. You cannot speak in the name of Jesus. Now, what did they do? They got over in the other kingdom. Let me say again, nobody in Washington has a right to have anything to say about the program of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. None. None. Or the schools we operate, because the church operates the schools. None of their business. And it's none of our business to pass the speed limit law. It's none of our business to pass the fire code. That's the government of this world's business, but this kingdom has nothing to do with this kingdom and should pass no laws that have to do with the program of this kingdom, and the kingdom of God should pass no laws that have anything to do with the protection of our property, protection of our person, protection of our freedom. All right, look at verse 18 again. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I'm going to read chapter 5. Well, turn to chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not. The government of this world, the kingdom of this world said cease. The kingdom of God said we cease not. Now why? They had passed a law. Hear me now. They had passed a law. And that law said infringed with the wrong kingdom. The kingdom of this world had passed a law that had to do with the kingdom that's not of this world. But there was already a law passed by the King of God, Kingdom of God. And this is it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now the law of the one kingdom said, the law of one kingdom said, they commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But the other kingdom commanded us to speak and teach in the name of Jesus. So in such a case, you have a definite, you have a direct law in the kingdom of God. You have a direct opposite law in the kingdom of this world. And we're supposed to obey the kingdom of God over the kingdom of this world. You'd be amazed how many idiots criticized Lester Roloff when he was fighting his battle for those homes down in Corpus Christi. State of Texas said, we want to tell you how to operate your homes. We want to tell your people that they've got to go to certain colleges, take certain courses, or we'll close your homes. That's what he's saying. You've got to have people that have gone to state universities and taken these humanistic, communistic, secular, satanic courses on how to handle children. Well, why in the world have a Christian orphanage if you're going to have to operate it like a heathen orphanage does? The very purpose of it is to have an orphanage that's controlled by the kingdom over here, not the kingdom over here. The little penny-ante preachers all over America criticized Brother Roloff. They said, he's breaking the law. No, he's not. He's keeping the biggest law. Yeah. Biggest law says, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the sick and the orphans, their affliction, to keep oneself unspotted in the world. It's the job of this kingdom to take care of orphans and take care of the fallen people. It's the job. The kingdom, the king, has passed the law. I don't care what the Congress says, what the Supreme Court says, they have no right to get over in this other kingdom. Any more than this other kingdom has any right to run the police department, the fire department. They're separate, total kingdoms. I said, number one, there are two kingdoms. I said, number two, we live in both and are to be subject to both. I said, number three, each is to allow the other to exist and operate. I said, number four, there are naturally two great threats. I said number five, the ideologies that embody these threats are communism, which embodies the church controlling, state controlling the church, and Catholicism, which embodies the church controlling the state. I said number six, each has its own area of authority. I said number seven, we're honorable. I said number eight, there is a priority to our allegiance, and that is the kingdom not of this world, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, as it's operated through local churches, is to have the highest obedience and allegiance. And by the way, that's what makes the government mad. Listen to me carefully. The government doesn't want you to have anybody above them. That's the whole story. They don't want you to have anybody above them. They want to run your life. They won't take your baby if you rear your baby according to this kingdom's rules. They won't take your baby out of your home. And I'll tell you something. Some of you kids that's sitting there tonight bored stiff. What you ought to do is realize one of these days they're going to come to your house and take your baby away, and you'll have your own child that you love with all your heart taken out of your home unless you listen to what's going on and take up the torch for the house has been trying to hold high for these 42 years. It's your nation. It's your kingdom. If you want to go to hell, if you want to lose your kids, go ahead. But it's time the young people of this country decide to fight for their freedom now, because it's your country after we're gone. Go ahead, kids. Go ahead. Whisper during the service. Look like you're bored to death. But you wait. And one of these days they'll come to your house and they'll take from your arms your own little baby, because you obeyed the kingdom of the laws of this kingdom and spanked your baby when it deserved it. And this kingdom says you can't spank your baby, but you obeyed God's kingdom instead of the world's kingdom, and your baby has been taken from your arms. Why? Because you don't much care. Time somebody besides some old preachers got excited about this country. I'll be in heaven. I'll be gone. We'll be gone. Roloff is gone. Rice is gone. Robertson's 80 years of age. I'm 63 years of age. It's up to you. And some of you kids that are planning to be engineers and make some money, what you ought to do is you ought to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to be an old-fashioned hell-raising preacher, and I'm going to take Roloff's place or Howell's place or Rice's place, and I'm going to stand up and hold a banner high and save the freedom of the kingdom of God, so that the government of this king, this world's government, will not boss us and destroy our homes and our families. Communism is dedicated to the destruction of the American family. Number nine. Accreditation of church schools is one kingdom ruling the other. What's accreditation all about? Same thing. If I said, okay, we're going to accredit state colleges. So we organized an accrediting association here at this church. And went up and down the country saying to the state colleges, why don't you seek accreditation of us? They say, well, what right? Well, because we're the kingdom of God. The kingdom of this world, and you listen to me, has no more right to accredit the kingdom that's not of this world than the kingdom that's not of this world has a right to accredit state universities. The philosophy is there are two kingdoms, and neither has a right to run the other. Pillsbury College, Owatonna, Minnesota, is seeking accreditation. I think Maranatha is, aren't they? I've heard it. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But you know what's happening? I told the college today. There's nobody, there's hardly anybody left that's got any national attention that's hollering out against us anymore. Brother Roloff used to go up and down this, around this country, all down this country, saying, don't get a license from the government, don't get a license from the government, don't get accredited, don't get accredited, don't get accredited, because it's this kingdom running this kingdom. But nowadays, where are the voices? Where are they? Well, here's one of them, bless God. Somebody has got to stick his neck out. Somebody's got to make you mad. Somebody's got to make you go home and say, I don't think I ought to criticize other denominations. Somebody's got to go home and say, I don't think, make you go home and say, you shouldn't have called the name of that college a while ago. Somebody's got to do it to alert America that the kingdom of this world has no business to run the kingdom of God. None at all. None at all. Accreditation of church schools is as the kingdom, one kingdom ruling the other, telling the other how to operate. Now, suppose that which is not unusual, suppose that the fire department, as they did, comes to me and says, Brother Howes, we'd like to inspect the college for safety. Well, I meet the state fire inspector out there and walk over to college with him. Why? I love these young people. I want them saved more than he does. And his job, he's in the kingdom of this world, and the king of this world is supposed to provide for the safety of our person. So that's good. Sanitation laws. That's the kingdom of this world. Now hear me carefully. But who teaches in our schools is the kingdom of God. And what is taught in our schools is the kingdom of God. And that's up for this kingdom to care for, and this kingdom keeps nose out. See, most people don't understand accreditation. The philosophy is accreditation is one kingdom trying to run the other. Just like America saying to Canada, we will accredit your schools in Canada. And Canada will say to America, drop dead, it's none of your cotton-picking business. And when the government says, we will accredit your schools in America, your Christian schools, then we're to say, drop dead, it's none of your cotton-picking business. Now, some of these things have got to be said. They're not being said anymore much. You practically hardly ever read this in a Christian newspaper. In fact, you hardly ever hear it said at a National Fundamental Convention anymore. You know why? Because the schools have become accredited. I'm told that there was a day when the Baptist Bible Fellowship preaches what I'm preaching right now, and now their schools are accredited. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that you should not go to an accredited school to learn how to be a worker for God. Because you're going to a school that's controlled by the kingdom of this world, and they're controlling the kingdom of God, and it's none of their business what goes on in the kingdom of God. As long as it doesn't interfere with somebody else's person, his property, or his liberty. And by the way, you might be interested in the first psalm. It's still in the Bible. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. No ungodly person is supposed to tell the kingdom of God how to operate. Hey, suppose an unsaved committee in Hammond, a full city council said, Hiles, you've got to put your sermons through us every Sunday. And we want to read your sermons before you preach them and approve your sermons. I'd say droppeth deadeth. None of your business. Why? Because I'm a free... No, mainly because they do not have the power to control God's kingdom. Just like they don't check with me before they pass their laws at city council meeting. You know what they have in mind? You know what you have to do to be accredited? First place, you've got to have the degrees that they say you got to have. Did you know that Mark Rasmussen could not teach at Hiles Anderson College if we were accredited? He's got more brains in his little toes than these secular folks have in their heads. A lot of these accredited colleges have tried to get him to come. They want him. I hate to say this. Do you know Jack Scott could not teach in Hiles Anderson College if he got accredited? Do you know Dan Daniels could? That just shows you what I'm saying. That's what they want all our colleges to be like. Hi, Dan. Think about it. Did you know that Mr. Laurent couldn't teach in Hiles Anderson College if we were accredited? Maybe it's not as bad as I thought. Do you know what they want? They want, here's exactly, they want to have a part in training our teachers. Listen to me. We've already got a whole country going to hell because the teachers they've trained. Why in the name of common sense would we start Christian schools so they could train our people so they'd be just like theirs? You know, we didn't start a Christian school because we wanted a hobby. We start a Christian school because we're sick and tired of the government running our kids. It's not their business to train our kids. Their business is to keep us safe and protect our property and keep our freedom. And they're taking the freedom instead of keeping it. And it's not their business to run the school. Accreditation is a transgression between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. Number 10. Neither is to tax the other. They're not supposed to tax us. We're not supposed to tax them. I have as much right to call the city council of Hammond and Mayor McDermott tonight and say, where are your tithes? We've got a jail down at First Baptist Church, and you'll be in it if you don't pay your tithes. Got just as much right to do that as they do to say they're going to tax the church. So we don't tell you a lot of stuff that's not unnecessary to tell you, but we've been in court over this parking garage down here. Because some of the city fathers wanted to tax that parking garage. But it so happens that parking garage is as much part of First Baptist Church as that parking lot across the street is. We won the case, by the way. Number 11, neither should support the other schools. Say, why don't you take government support money? Because it's not the job of this kingdom to pay for the schools of this kingdom. But what happens? Do you know that I am paying for Hammond High and Indiana University and Purdue Extension? You know, part of my income, and if you live in Indiana, part of your income is paying for the education of those heathen, godless people to teach our kids that they came, that man came a monkey, and they're the only good illustration that may be true. You look at one of them and you may believe it. They have no more right to tax me to run their kingdom schools than I have a right to tax them to run our kingdom schools. One other thing, this may surprise you. That's one reason why I'm unalterably opposed to tuition credit. See, the kingdom of this world is sneaky. Okay, they say, let us do this. Let us give you a $500 allowance or your child, if your child goes to a private school. Now, listen carefully to that. Sounds good, doesn't it? But who's going to decide what schools qualify? The world's kingdom's going to decide. So then they come and check our... They're wanting to check our schools out. You see what I'm trying to say? That's El Pinko's way to check out our schools. Because then... See, and by the way, they'll catch you on that one of these days, and you'll take, you'll trot your little junior and your little Susie out and put them in a school the government will approve. Because we're not putting our school up for government approval. In the first place, the poorest run schools in the world run to the government. We have to teach most of the public school kids come to Howells Anderson College how to read first. You could dress a monkey up. And a pair of blue jeans and an earring. Send him to public school and he get a diploma. You know why? Because a monkey as a teacher wouldn't know the difference. But what they want to do, and some it's a subtle effort on the part of the government to say, we'll give you $500 tax deduction. Hey, I like that. All you got to do is be a part of an approved school. Your child go to an approved school. Uh-oh. Approved by whom? You think they're going to have me check it out? Huh? They're going to ask Dan Daniels to check it out? No. The government's going to decide what schools are approved. Well, how's the government going to decide what schools are approved? They got to check out the school. And the government checks out the school, they've gotten over in a kingdom they don't belong to. And we have invited them over. And we have chosen to lose our freedom. That's the philosophy behind church and state. It's more than us saying, well, we don't like... No, it's two different kingdoms. Two different kingdoms. Neither of which is supposed to govern the affairs of the other. That's funny. Our government seems that they apply it to us not getting over in their kingdom. But they don't apply it to them not getting over in our kingdom. I'll tell you something, young people. Somebody's going to die in America. I'm going to make a prophecy. Some people are going to die and some preachers are going to jail in America. What I taught tonight. Within 25 years. 25 years from now, you'll be about 43 years old or 40 years old, most of you. You'll be right in the time of rearing your children. And some of you young men, if you tell the government that they cannot run your school because of the purpose of why in the world should you pay $1,000, $1,200 a year to send your child to a Christian school and it's inspected and governed just like the heathen school. Send them to the other heathen school. I'll say this in close. And then I'll say something else in close. But I'll say this in close. The accredited so-called Christian schools in America are very, very little different philosophically from the heathen government schools. And they have no other choice. If the government's going to tell them what to preach and teach and where to get trained, I probably shouldn't say this, and with this I'll close again. I sat at the Perkins restaurant, Omaha, Nebraska, across from one of my heroes, Dr. Lee Robertson. Dr. Robertson started a school, what year? 46. We're talking about 43 years ago, started school. Now, wait a minute. Dr. Robertson said to me, he said, Brother Jack, you're wise. I didn't say I knew it, but I thought it. And I said, this has been about 4 or 5 years ago. At that time he was still pastoring and still president of Tennessee Temple. He said, you're wise, Brother Jack. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said this. I followed him carefully. I may get in trouble for this, but I'm going to say it. He said, you hire Hiles Anderson graduates to teach in your college and teach in your Christian schools. He said, smartest thing you ever did. He said, we swallowed this stuff. Have to be broad-minded. You're supposed to bring in others from other places. He said this to me. He said, we hired, because of this philosophy that we swallowed, we hired people from other institutions and other philosophies. And he said, Brother Howell, Brother Jack, right now, we have in Tennessee Temple a music teacher. I'm quoting now, nearly word for word, that we hired another philosophy, and we found out recently that he is playing in a dance band at night in downtown Chattanooga. He said, you're wise. He said, you hire people that have your philosophies. See, that's the philosophy of the world. That's what the world says. The world says, Dr. Evans, you can account for this in case you'd like to continue being president of Hiles Anderson College. But you've got to have a certain percentage of doctor's degrees, right? And master. In fact, all of them have master's degrees on it. Also, you've got to have a certain percentage of people from other institutions of higher learning. They tell you where to hire your teachers. They tell you what courses your teachers have to take. They're not just controlling your personal safety or the safety of your property or the safety of your freedom. They're controlling your books. They're controlling your teachers. They're controlling your curriculum. And that kingdom over here can't even operate their own educational system. Mr. Public Education, you got all you can say grace over in your backyard. Why don't you come over and look and see how we operate it? And let us accredit you. Shall we stand, please?